ました。
Neil, and welcome to the Crosscast. This show is a Crosscast special. We are so pleased to be able to bring you a fascinating, open and in-depth chat that Matt had with double world champion Ben Tulett and his coach Dean Downing. Dean is a former national champion in his own right and one of the most successful and inspiring British road racers of the last two decades. Ben is still just 18 years old and has had a phenomenal start to his career. A career that I've had the pleasure of watching from the other side of the tape since he was, well, under 12, maybe younger. They talk about racing and winning at the very highest level, coming back from injury, and whether we'll ever get to see Dean pinning on a number and taking on a cross course. There's going to be a regular crosscast out next week where we'll give our thoughts on the end of the season and give you everything you need to know about next year's National Trophy, the World Cups, and that bizarre choice of the Swiss World Championships venue for 2020. But that's enough from me. Let's pop over to Matt's house where he caught up with Dean and with Ben Tulett.
So we're down in the pits and we thought for the world's post-worlds look back, who better to talk to than somebody who made a little bit of history and a man who may be part of history, however, is one of the key people involved in it. So welcome to the pits, double consecutive world champion, Ben Tulett.
Hiya.
How are you? You all right?
Yeah, good, thanks. Yeah, good.
Have you just about recovered from the weekend, or are you still laid up on the sofa doing not a lot?
Yeah, I'm still in bed now, actually. So, yeah, I'm just relaxing, really, and just soaking it all in on the come down from Saturday's race.
Well, before we get to the race, better introduce the other man who's here today with me in the pits. And that is a man who, for anybody on road, needs no introduction, but maybe for off-road does. Dean Downing. Welcome, Dean.
Hiya, Matt. You all right?
I'm really good. I'm really good. Good to have you here. Now, I'm sad enough and old enough to remember you beating everybody on the road here, there and everywhere. But for our listeners who are cyclocross addicts who maybe don't stray onto the black stuff, give us a quick review of what your riding career was all about.
I won't bore you that long, but I was lucky enough to be a professional rider in the UK and did some racing around the world as well. For the majority of my career was with the Rafa Condor team, then onto Madison Genesis, then I retired with NFTO in 2014. So I was probably crit specialist, you'd probably put that down, but I won some road races as well.
Won some road races, yeah. So if we list them, national champion?
National champion on the crits, yeah, in the circuit race.
Yep.
Got bronze medal at the road champs in 2008, which was pretty good.
Lincoln, some cobbles on Lincoln, there. Yeah. So Lincoln wasn't just it's not just been a rust fest too, of course. It's, I think at the moment, out training still. You maybe the smarter move given the weather we've got at the moment.
Yeah, it's a bit cold out there, yeah.
It is, but we've seen Russ doing some off-road riding in his training recently. You've now turned coach and you've got your own Dean Downing coaching. So as a coach, do you ride off-road?
I do have a cross bike. It's currently just in my office, just sat there, because I don't ride it that often, but it is a lot of fun. It's very hard. But I've never raced a cross race in my life, so that's probably interesting to the listeners, kind of thing. So
you've never raced a cross race, Ben? What were you doing hiring this man?
Yeah, I think Dean knows a lot more about cross than maybe he realises, because I think, as Dean said, coming from being national circuit race champion and multiple Tour Series wins and stuff, I think the training is quite similar to the crit racing, and I think that offers a lot more than most people might think, because the training's pretty similar and the race length's pretty similar also, so I think it offers a lot to a cyclocross rider.
And I guess the theory is just about transferring it across, Dean, so you're taking the theory of how to get ready to do a race and you're taking the experience that you've got of training somebody physically and then transferring that into whatever discipline, I guess, you're looking at an outcome.
Yeah, I'm really lucky that within the riders that I have and coach, it's very varied. So, yeah, Ben, for example, being world champion and doing cross racing, I've got lots of under 23 riders that are road racing, I've got some ladies that are crit racing, so I've got a good spread of different types of riders, which has really been interesting for me to learn about over the last 4 years. So yeah, back to Ben, we started coaching or working together 2 years ago. It was just after the national cross champs in Bradford. But further back than that, I've known Ben and Dan and Alistair and Catherine and Amy, the whole Tulip family, for a long time, 10 plus years. So I've had contact with Ben since he's been a little lad, so that's pretty cool to then work with him a little bit more 2 years ago. At the start of that was very exciting to teach him about the effect of how you can train properly, how you can rest properly. So that's how we started it, and then things progressed to doing proper training within training zones, within power zones, learning about yourself, learning, getting Ben to learn about himself. So it's been a pretty cool 2 year journey.
Yeah, it's been an amazing 2 year journey, because of course, Ben, you were all racing at a high level. Did you feel that you needed a coach at that point?
It was probably the time to start looking at getting a coach and that kind of thing, because before then I didn't really used to do a lot of training. I just used to just go on my cross bike in the week and maybe a little spin on the rollers or something, but now it's only really been in the past 2 years that I've really started to train. So I mean, Dean's brought me on leaps and bounds in the past 2 years, and I've got a lot to thank him for, and it's a big part of why I've had a lot of success in the past 2 years, definitely.
But of course, I think Dean would be the first to say he's a part of a team. It's not just Dean and the team. It doesn't matter what the backup's like, you've got to be out there. And you were already a national champion, you'd race really well, you were racing on the continent, you got a great background racing the continental cross, and we've spoken on the crosscast in previous interviews about all those continental races and that experience. We came into last year, we came to the Worlds, and you had a first year go learn it experience in front of you, and you only went and won it. Was that a surprise at the time, or did you and Dean actually know what was coming?
I did.
I thought I was good enough to win, and I went into that race with the aim of winning, but I also knew that I was a first year, so it was more, the experience of course was incredibly important, and the result wasn't so important going into that race, because it was important that I learned for years to come when now I'd be in the top years of the age categories. But to come away with a win, we knew it was possible, and yeah, we made it happen. So yeah, of course that was a big goal, and we worked hard for that.
And when you say we worked hard for that, was there specific training for that course? Was there a view of what needed to be done for that in particular, or was it across the whole season last year?
Yeah, it was across the whole season, and we started this conversation off of, I've never ridden a cross race, I'm not a cross rider, so Ben and I have worked really well together, and I've put it to Ben, what do you feel you need to practice in training for cross racing? I need to do standing starts, right, okay, let's slot them into the week. I need to go skills testing, right, find a course around where you live, get that done as well. And then obviously I need to do some endurance training, fit that in, need to do some high end top end efforts which replicate a cross race, right, let's fit them in it. And that's how it started, and then it's really about seeing how Ben feels after those efforts. We can put that training into Training Peaks, it gives us some facts and figures of how tired Ben is. Then Ben may feel really tired on a session, so we'll knock it on the head and we'll talk about it, and then we'll move forward. So it's really it's just a big planning exercise between both of us, that Ben knows exactly what he needs to do as a cross rider he can skills test that. I can't say, why don't you go out and do, you know, 20 jumps on and off the bike. I don't understand about that or know about that. I do know a lot more about it now, but in the beginning it was just about working together to get Ben to the best shape for the first World Championships last year.
And it clearly paid off. So Ben, you came away from that, did you think, right, let's have more of the same? Because we talked and you were talking about having a full cross season this season. Was that your plan originally coming into this season?
Yeah, definitely. You know, being the world champion and wearing, you know, the rainbow jersey, I think it was important that I sort of honoured the jersey. And, you know, it was my goal anyway to do a full cross season because, you know, I really want, it was a big goal to, really have a good season. So, yeah, it was definitely the season, and we worked hard into the season, but unfortunately there was a bit of an injury at the start, so it hindered the start of the season a bit.
Yeah, let's just dive into that. It all went a bit wrong, really. Kind of carefully laid plan had a stumbling block, which was the injury. Just describe for people who don't know that injury, how serious was it?
Basically I had a bruise to the bone, so it meant I couldn't really turn the pedals really at all. So no, I got straight off the bike, and the first thing we thought was that it was broken because I couldn't stand on it for the first 5 to 7 days, really. I could barely walk at all, so let alone ride. So, you know, we had to just keep it cool and keep it easy, and, you know, come back when it was ready, because it was too serious of a thing to keep trying and riding for, because, you know, I want to be successful in years to come, so it's pointless risking giving myself a long-term injury when it can be sorted out in, you know, 6 or 7 weeks. But yeah, it wasn't worth giving myself a even bigger injury. So that was quite hard at the time to sort of take in, because I just want to race. But, you know, soon, yeah, you realise that you need to rest and you need to let your body heal.
So as the scale of that injury came apparent, 6 or 7 weeks in front of you, was it hard to not go out and train? Is that where you needed somebody to put the brakes on?
Yeah, I think that was really important, and Dean was incredibly supportive with that. You know, we didn't do any hard or really structured training for a big amount of time, really, and that was quite hard at the beginning, you know, to not be riding, because that's my passion and that's what I want to do every day.
So, I think it was about three weeks, wasn't it, Ben? About 3 weeks that you didn't do any structured training, which was hard for Ben, because, like I said, when I've seen Ben growing up, he loves going out riding, he loves thrashing around, he loves smashing it, he loves going fast. So that was a big thing to happen to Ben. And I think, well, I know Koppenberg was a big hit for Ben's morale, but also Ben's injury, in that he won their first year junior, he loves the course, he had a good start, and then something went wrong in the knee and he stopped immediately. And I was over there with Alistair, Ben's dad, and we just thought, well, this needs to stop, it needs to get sorted. So Alistair and I have good contact with HMT Hospitals, made a call to Tony Barrett if he could help. He was very happy to help. So that was the process of, right, this needs to get sorted ASAP, go to see the surgeon, Dr. Pacheco, and get some advice on what actually is happening in Ben's knee. And in that waiting room was pretty scary, to be fair. It's like, you know, got Ben, the world champion, not knowing what's wrong with his knee, but we're going to find out. And we did find out, and MRI scans, yes, you've got a bruised bone, it's not broken, a bit more recovery, and then you're safe to press on. Nothing's going to affect your knee in the future. So for me, that was a great thing to hear, and also for Ben to hear, I think, that he knew that he wasn't going to affect his knee if he pressed on hard, if he could go through the pain. So that was a big turning point, Koppenberg being so bad, and then seeing the guys at HMT, which is another part of that team. You know, they helped out, which is fantastic. And Ben got to progress from that.
So the whole support team, you know, the analogy is the Formula One, isn't it? The drivers there with immense skill, physicality, they've got to have the ability, the brains, the knowledge. But behind is this massive team putting all these little bits together behind to support the competitor who's actually doing the business on the race.
Yeah, and it's been like that for a couple of years, but especially at that time frame when you've got a young 17-year-old lad who's wanting to race as world champion and he can't. How do we manage that? So the team managed it really well. They were happy for Ben to not ride. They were happy for him to sort it out, organise it, and then come back when you were fit and ready. So that's what he did.
So Ben, low point, Koppenberg, feeling, I'm guess, really down about the whole situation, but you're getting some help, you're getting the knowledge. Did that then set you off thinking, what do you want to do for the rest of the year, or was it just take it day by day?
It was sort of what I wanted to do for the rest of the year and day by day, so a bit of a mixture of both really. But you know, I'd had to sit down after that and think, what do I need to do to win the world champs? And that's sort of the holy grail of the season, so I just put all eggs in one basket really, and just sat down, you know, good chats and good phone calls with Dean, you know, what do we need to do to be in the best shape possible for the world championships. And I think we worked really hard for the last weekend, and you know, it was difficult at times, especially coming back after having quite a lot of time off the bike. And you know, I didn't jump straight back in and win. You know, it took a few races until I got back on the top step of the podium. And yeah, I think, you know, it was hard at times.
We've not all been lucky enough and had the ability and the talent to be at the top, and we're kind of used to knocking our heads against the wall and getting a kick in. But when you've been there and then suddenly the guys that you know you can beat are giving you a hard time, is that almost a new feeling? Is that demoralising, or does that fire you up? What does it do to your head?
I think it drove me forwards really, because I just want to do my best and race to my best ability. So I really, really wanted to, you know, get back as quickly as possible. So I really worked hard in the training and, you know, listened to the people around me and, you know, what do I need to do to get back into a good level of fitness, and, you know, just listen to the people that know more than me really. So yeah, that was a big part of the process to come back after the injury.
So when you came back, you and Dean sat down, you said, right, we want to go, got another Worlds coming up, let's go for it. How does that work?
Yeah.
Do you say to Dean, I need to work on this and that? Does Dean say, right, I've looked at the course and it's full of not a lot, it's got banks, it's power? How does it work between you to get that dialed in?
Well, for me, when we were sat in the waiting room, was the big thing, and said to Ben, when is the Worlds? And Ben was like, it's February. I was like, well, it's mid-November, so how many days away? He said, I don't know. I said, it's 103 days away. Right, that's a long time away. That's a long time away. So we've got a long time to prepare for that day, you know. So and then they just, week by week, month by month, things start to slot into place. And the racing was important for Ben to push himself and, you know, race cross again, because he'd not done many races, you know, and be with his competitors. But then it was about testing his fitness, seeing that go up in numbers, you know, in Training Peaks, for example, but also seeing how Ben feels around that fitness, and then working on the bigger power deliveries and the 1 minute powers and the 2 minute powers and all that kind of intense work. And then Ben's in charge really of what the course is like, because, you know, we talk about it. What do you feel? Oh, it's got long straights, right, let's work on long power. Oh, it's got really lots of technical sections, then you need to do lots of skills, and that's the part you can relax in the circuit. So these are the kind of some conversations we were having during the December, you know, the Christmas period, when Ben raced 3-4 times and got better and better and better. So pushing that confidence by each week saying, right, your fitness has gone up a lot, you're in good shape, how are you feeling?
And is that what you need, Ben? Do you need that constant feedback? Does that help you? Or can you just sit back and just trust that people are saying, yeah, don't worry, it's working?
Yeah, I think it's good, of course, to have the feedback and, you know, listening to the people around me is what I said. So I think it's definitely a big part of it. And coming back from the injury, you know, I got back to a good level of fitness, you know, pretty quickly. And it was really funny, actually, because I could almost, you know, within training sessions, I could feel myself getting better, you know, day by day, week by week. There was big improvement. So it was good for the morale and good for me to know that, you know, I can still be in the top level for the world champs.
And I think that showed when we went to Gravesend, pretty much your back doorstep, isn't it, Ben? Let's face it. I mean, we're down at the national champs at Cyclo Park in Gravesend, and you're there riding around in the world champs suit, knowing that you're coming up to having to defend that. How important was the national championships in terms of giving a marker, in terms of your confidence?
Well, yeah, of course, it's a big race, and, you know, if I hadn't won the Worlds, then it was, for me, it was important that I still had a national champs or something jersey to wear. You know, that was, of course, still a big goal for the year. So to have such good legs on that day and still be 3 weeks out from the Worlds and still have, you know, quite a bit still to work on was a big confidence boost for sure.
And on home ground, and I know Dean was down there, the crowds were absolutely huge, but there was lots of support there for Ben as well. It was really good to see. Sometimes we see champions basically become the anti, sort of the enemy, because everybody loves the underdog and below. That wasn't the case, was it? I mean, we sort of came down there as strangers, and you're down there looking outside.
Yeah, again, for that weekend, I went down to the Tulip household with my family, with my wife and kids, and we went to watch, which was great. And just to see how Ben was doing, it was a fast circuit, not dissimilar to the one in Denmark. So, but we had a game plan of that, because we had a really good Christmas period, but Ben acknowledged that he made a few mistakes over Christmas, so I went to look at them and concentrate on the whole process of the race. And he did that perfectly. He put the riders in the front under pressure, and then he went off on his own and worked really hard, but also relaxed into the race around the technical parts, but worked hard on the straights, up the climbs. So we looked at that afterwards, and that was what was perfect to come out of that race. But as a crowd and as a event, it was amazing. You know, you could see a lot of the race, a lot of the circuit. So there's a lot of people enjoyed the whole weekend, but I think a lot of people enjoyed watching Ben come back and win the British Championships on home ground, you know, half an hour away from home. So he's done a lot of training around there. He's been to some of the evenings with the kids, which Ben enjoys doing. So I think it was appreciated on all fronts that Ben got great support. And, you know, that Ben enjoyed it.
Yeah, what was it like back there, Ben? All these kids, I saw them sort of come up and mob you post-podium. And lots of faces, I mean, they were all going, I know him. He's the guy I was riding around with. Do you notice that when you're racing, or is it just in the before and after that it really helps?
Yeah, it's more before and after, really, you know. When you're racing, you tend to not hear so many people, really, because you're pretty zoned in and you're concentrating on the racing. But for sure, you know, it was really nice to have so much home support and have my family there and friends. So yeah, it was really special race. To have so many people at a British cross race was, it's a bit strange to see, actually, because you never expect to see that many people watching a British cyclocross race. So to have what I imagine was probably over 1,000 people spectating was pretty cool.
Yeah, nearly 3,000 people are the numbers that they're talking about.
Oh,
and if
wow.
You look back, something like Milton Keynes, which officially was 14,000 and potentially 20, that's pretty much the only one, I think, where we've had much bigger numbers. And that was, so far, realistically, a one-off, unless you go back to Roundy World Champs at Roundy Park. So where even Dean has ridden, because he's ridden the grass track at Roundy Grass Track. But that doesn't put anything other than a little bit of banking in there.
Doesn't count.
That doesn't really count, really. So then we do the. So we've done the Champs. Straight switch to the Worlds. How does that work?
In between the two was a 10-day, two-week training camp, which Ben went away with the team, with the EcoBank team. I spoke to Christoph, one of the team owners, connected him to the Training Peaks account and said, right, what does Ben need to do whilst he's over there? Again, I handed Ben over to the team. And the coaches there worked with them, said, I think Ben should be working on this. They're like, yeah, that's a good idea. What about this? Oh, yeah, that's a really good idea as well. So we managed this training plan for 2 weeks where Ben was in charge of what he was doing with myself and with the team, with Bart Wellens. And it was a fantastic, fantastic block of training. I think the endurance rides were nothing over 4 hours. You know, so he wasn't going out and doing epics.
No,
he was working
no 8,
hard.
12 hours riding up and down every hill that goes.
He was working hard within 2 hour rides, 3 hour rides, and then doing some endurance to keep his fitness in good shape. So,
and how was that for you then, Ben, going out with the team and maybe having to juggle Dean and Christoph and Bart and of course all of the Ico Beer Bank team?
Yeah, I mean, there was me and Ryan Corchins there, so it was really good to have another junior rider there, and you know, the full Corendon cyclocross team was there, so of course, you know, Matthew was there, Sanna was there, so yeah, that was really cool, and to learn from the older riders was a big part of the trip for me, being the youngest there, was something that I could really, you know, really found a lot went in from that, so to just see what the older riders were doing and what I can do differently was a big part of the trip also.
So a real learning experience. And then across to the Worlds, number two. And realistically, I mean, a lot of people were saying when you went there that there was only one result that was a win. There was only one positive result, which was to take a second win, which only Matthew has done before. Did you feel that pressure this time around? Because it was clearly absent the previous Worlds.
Yeah, I mean, there was a bit of pressure, of course, because I went at the first year and it's only been done once before, so it was a bit different to how most people go into that race. So, yeah, of course, there was a bit of pressure, but I feel like I handled it really well going into the race. You know,
just
I was
a bit.
Super relaxed, really, and I just went through what I know I need to do, and what I need to do is not be stressed for me to, you know, perform at my best. So got to work out what you need to do to not be stressed, and you know, just being organised and making sure you're in the best possible place to be. So I feel like I handled that really well going into it.
And then you arrive on site and you turn up at the course, and it's a course that the previous year had been absolutely hammered by everybody as being not particularly good, other than the people who had won on it. What did you think when you got there? What were your impressions of that course? Because it's something that lots of riders have not been complimentary about, and yet Dean and I probably agree that it's actually the riders who make the racing, not the course.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with what you say. It's the riders that make the race, not the course. But the course does make a bit of the race, I suppose. So, yeah, I think a good course does make the race maybe a bit more exciting, but it's not always necessary. And I think the Saturday and Sunday course was a lot different to what we practiced on the Friday. It was incredibly cold on the Friday, and it was just rock solid in the ground. There was no grip anywhere, because there was even like a thin layer of ice on the top. So yeah, it was really, really strange conditions. Actually, I was going around on a sand tire on a challenge dune, so it was a bit strange. And then there was a bit of rain on the Friday night, and it just made it a bit more supple and a bit more grippy. So yeah, I thought it was a good course after the rain fell. Otherwise, I think it would have been a bit of a road race kind of. So yeah,
it was quite a lot of long straights on there, wasn't there? So your training had been putting in the power, You know, obviously we don't want to give too many secrets away, even though Ryan's on your team, one of the guys you were fighting it out with. It's gets to that sort of course, you've done the prep, you've got in there, as you say, you were out riding on the Friday. Saturday morning comes. Do you talk to Dean? Do you talk to the coaches, or is it just get on with it, sunshine?
Yeah, sort of a bit more just get on with it, really. And, you know, I don't really see many people before I race because, you know, we've got our own area, and it's important that, you know, the people stay away and let me get on with doing what I need to do, you know, starting my warm-up, getting ready, getting changed into my race kit, and, yeah, and then just going to the start line, really. So on the morning of race day, you don't really see so many people.
And then you hit the start line. You've got teammates, competitors, rivals. Was there anybody you were worried about? You can tell us now. It's all over.
No, not really, to be honest. Like, everyone wants to win who's on the start line. Otherwise, you wouldn't be racing. So, yeah, I mean, not really anyone in particular that I was really worried about because, yeah, as I said, everyone wants to win. So everyone's a competitor at the end of the day.
And we saw you go out. It looked quite controlled in how you were riding initially. As the race progressed, obviously then you were looking and watching what people were doing. Was there a key moment, a key point in the time when you thought, right, I know where I'm going to go, or I know where they're weak?
On the first banking, it seemed that a lot of the riders weren't riding it, and at that point there was a bit of like a peloton going around, and I was just making sure I wasn't really expending too much energy, and just keeping it cool and keeping it easy. But I think it was on the third lap or something, I just hit that banking really fast and immediately had a little bit of a gap, and I just kept the pressure on at that point, and it seemed to increase, and that's when I really knew I had to go for it. I just kept the pressure on, and yeah, the gap continued to grow, and I just kept my head cool, and yeah, just pedaled the pedals hard, really.
Yeah, laps 3 and 4, because coming in, you were doing, lap 1 was like 6:05, lap 2, 6:01, then 3 and 4, a 5:51 and a 5:56. Suddenly, the pressure's on. You clearly, you know, opened the throttles and you're gone. Once you'd opened that gap up, were you confident, or was it always on the edge on the way round, given that the course was getting, I guess, more and more cut up?
Yeah, I mean, it was about going hard where it mattered, really, and where it doesn't matter, making sure that you're not taking stupid mistakes, because I might have had a gap, but it could have quite easily went if I had a crash or got, you know, the chain comes off or anything like that, rolled a tub. So about going hard where it matters, and in the other places, just controlling it and making sure that you're going fast, but that you're not taking stupid risks, because, as I said, it can easily go wrong.
And then coming into that finishing straight, what was it like coming round there? It's number 2. Does it feel different to number 1 when you hit the straight? Are you able to notice the difference, or are you just in that moment?
I couldn't believe how well it planned out, really, on the Saturday, because went over the line and it just felt like big dream again, you know, to ride away and win by myself was exactly what I wanted to happen, and I knew it would be hard, and, you know, I did go hard in the race, and yeah, it just felt really cool. But I think can't really compare the two. There's two races, and yeah, it's not like winning the first time, of course, you know, putting on the rainbow jersey the first time. It's just something, yeah, just absolutely crazy, and yeah, to do it again was just, yeah, really cool.
So which was harder, pulling it on the first time or pulling it on the second? Which was the bigger achievement in terms of what you had to do?
I think the first time was harder. It was a lot heavier course and a lot more mud, and, you know, I was going full gas throughout the whole duration of the race, you know, on the final kind of two laps of on Saturday. It was about making sure I wasn't crashing or taking really stupid risks. So I think there was a bit more to control. I had more control over the race last Saturday than in Valkenburg, where I just had to go full gas until the finish line.
and you cross the finish line, and Alistair, your dad's there, and Dean are there. Do you even register them on the way in, or are you still in sort of, you know, some euphoric haze of crossing the line and winning?
Yeah, I mean, I noticed them after finishing, but yeah, my head's all over the place at that point, so yeah, I was a bit out of it, kind of.
I think me and Alistair pretty much attacked Ben when he crossed the line. We were there, you know, just after the finish line with all the UCI officials and the Swannies and stuff, so we were just very proud, very excited. We attacked him, began to give a hug, and then just moved away and let him get on with it. And I know Ben went into the tent, got cleaned up, and I think that's his time. That's absolutely Ben's time to sit down and take it all in and think about what he's just achieved, really. And then that was the process of going to the podium, and I know Ben enjoyed that part, as he never stopped smiling coming to the line, crossing the line, the moment we saw me and Al, and then the process of getting on the podium. He just never stopped smiling, which is fantastic to see. You just see that's his passion of, you know, being excited about becoming world champion again. I'm very happy.
And you're on the podium with a teammate as well.
Yeah, I mean, me and Ryan, we might be competitors, but we're really good mates as well, and I think that's important, that you can get a good switch of being rivals and being teammates and good mates outside of racing as well. So it was pretty special to be on the podium with him as well, and you know, it was a good race, and yeah, it's nice to celebrate that with him as well.
And then I guess for you, Dean, that's kind of why you do it, isn't it? That's kind of watching the people that you work with achieve their potential. Does the emotion get to you now, maybe more than when you were riding?
It's the same, I think. So I'm emotional anyway. Not an emotional wreck, but I nearly was that day and the year before. But yeah, I used to love winning bike races myself. So you get your hands in the air, and you have your families there, or your boss John Erity was there, that kind of thing. So I used to love that part of it. And then helping riders, like I mentioned earlier, different stages, different variety of different riders to win a bike race or do the best they can, to be there on the day is pretty special. So yeah, I was nervous in the latter part of the race, but it's good to be there and share it with Al as well, and then to share it with Ben just a little bit afterwards as well. So yeah,
it certainly seemed to show on the footage we were watching. I mean, everybody obviously is going to choke up. It's a world championship, at least two in a row. So Ben, have you had the conversation with Dean yet about where you go from here? Has that happened yet, or is he eased off a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, now my season stops now, so yeah, that was my final race of the year. I could have continued if I wanted to, you know, racing into February, but that would sort of hinder my start of the road season. So that's something that it's also really important to me. So it's important that I get a good road program, and for me to have the best road program possible, I have to sacrifice the end of the cyclocross season. But you know, that's just what it is, and that's how it has to be. So yeah, now I've taken a little bit of rest, not too much, because yeah, I had quite a lot of time in the season where I didn't train. So yeah, it's nice to let it sink in and before getting back on it and back to training.
So at the moment you've got a little bit of time off post Worlds. When do you start back on the bike? When you back out again?
Friday, not too long.
Friday, so too long. So that's quite a long time though, because for somebody who I guess rides the bike pretty much every day, 4 days in a row, 5 days in a row, is suddenly a big block. Ding.
Yeah,
is that important to have that gap?
It's one of the hardest things for most riders to do, and it's one of the hardest things for Ben to do as well, to have a day off, have 2 days off, 3 days off, 4 days off. But it's like taking it all in. He's worked so hard in the last few months, and not just physically, mentally, he's worked very hard to get back to being the best, which he was on Saturday. So yeah, we just kind of kept it a little bit loose, really. Not somebody asked me the other day, when was that the Worlds, what's Ben's next plan for the next month, and what was his training plan? I said I'll be honest, we haven't planned anything. They were quite shocked by that, I think, and just said to him, well, Ben's just become world champion again, he needs to take that in, then rest a little bit. And I know, we know that Ben's going away on a training camp to Spain for 3 weeks. That's a big block to be away. We haven't planned every single day, we've not even planned anything yet, but we will do. But I think Ben enjoying it and having some time off is the key, because of such a hard mental challenge in the early season of the winter's going to get over that. Lay on his bed a few times.
Watch videos. Stay in bed and watch videos and do not a lot. So Ben, currently laid in bed, not thinking too much about the 3 week training block. Let's push on a little bit in towards the end of the road season that's you're going to do. Next year, cross season, is that a big, big decision what you do? Because you're not going to be the oldest in your age group, are you? You're going to be moving on and up against some more competition that's maybe got a little bit more of an age range in there. Does that fire you on to do more cross? Are you thinking maybe time to take a step back? Have you thought about it much?
Yeah, I mean, I thought about it a lot, and it's something that I'm really looking forward to. You know, it will be a good experience for me to develop as a rider, and yeah, it's something that's really motivating me actually to want more success. So yeah, it's something that's really driving me on.
So we can expect to see you planning a full season of cross, can we, for next year, and maybe avoiding the injury, so the right from the early season right the way through to the Worlds and out the other side next year? Or are you going to have to temper that a little bit?
Potentially, I mean, we'll have to see closer to the time, really, but I can't say for certain now. But yeah, I mean, it's very likely that will happen.
Very likely. I don't think we're going to get you to commit to more than that. Dean won't let me.
Non-committal.
No, a great answer.
So Ben's got a big road season as well. He's got a good team behind him on that. You know, Yorkshire Worlds would suit Ben's style of riding as well. So I think that's the next phase, is just thinking about how we start that process of training, getting more endurance in, knock the high intensity efforts on the head, and then build on that and concentrate on road. And through the next month or so, things like we just talked about there they'll slot into place. And yeah, as long as Ben's in charge of things, I think that's the key.
Yeah, because we've seen you, Ben, change from, I mean, my earliest memories of watching you race in a nighttime cross prior to a national mountain bike in Newnham, I think, and you must have been, I don't know, 8 or 9 at the time. You've changed from that, and you've kind of got bigger. But this year, there's been a real change in how you look on the bike. I guess you are, like most people, taller and stronger. Can you see that development continuing with the road season? Is that what you're looking to get out of it?
I don't know, really. Like, my body will, I don't know how much more I'll grow and what will happen, but you know, I'm pretty small at the moment, so I think there's still a lot more room for growing and stuff. But yeah, we'll have to see about that. I can't say for certain, so yeah, we'll have to see.
You have grown over the last 12 months though, haven't you there, Ben? Was it 3 centimetres?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, about 3 or 4 centimetres.
So 3 or 4 centimetres upwards, and your shoulders look about six inches wider.
And he's put weight on as well, so that's one of the things that we don't track all the time, but we talk about it. And say, oh, maybe you're getting some growing pains, that kind of thing. So it's just chit-chats we have, but it's kind of, you have to take that into account, that in the last 12 months, you shot up, you know, 3 to 4 centimetres, put 2 or 3 kilos on, but his body's still like super shape, the muscles in the right place. But then there's so many other things that can affect the bike, you know, new bikes. There's a lot of things to think about in the last 12 months.
And that's something that's particular when you're a younger rider growing up and through, when you reach your mid-20s and maybe that starts to slow off and that change isn't there, then maybe you get a better idea of what discipline you're going to be good at and what you want to focus on potentially, because that's where you've developed too. Do you think, Dean, it's possible for Ben to be good as a road rider and as a cross rider? Or is it going to be mountain bike and cross? Or is it going to have to be a focus on one discipline only? Do you think that's a decision somebody's got to make.
I think Ben has to make that decision himself. You know, he loves racing the cross. He loves racing the road. He's a great climber. He's good in the junior classics. So he's got a good package at the moment. But with growing comes strength. So Ben and I talk about stuff like that, and we did actually talk about it just at the Worlds, that now's the time that Ben can push on a little bit more, over and above the hours of what he did 12 months ago, because he's bigger, stronger and a better athlete, or a stronger athlete. So that'll be interesting when we go to Spain. But other than what type of rider Ben is at the moment, I think he's world cross champion, isn't he?
He's world cross champion. And again, I know we've talked previously about Ben's ambitions on the Crosscast, and you can download all of the previous interviews and all the previous episodes of the Crosscast, and I'm sure this one will get lots of downloads on the way through to see what Ben's thoughts were then. I'm not going to ask you now, Ben. I won't put you on the spot. You need to be revelling in the fact that you're world champion twice over, and big thank you to you for coming on the Crosscast and coming into the pits, and a big thank you to Dean as well. Enjoy the rest, Ben. Dean, I'm sure you're going to go number crunching very soon.
Thank you very much, Matt. Cheers, Ben.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks.